Welcome to the Pit Cop Podcast. So today we're doing a deep dive into a subject that I think it touches everyone's life, usually during a moment of, you know, slightly heightened stress, public restroom hygiene.
Definitely heightened stress.
And look, we aren't here to scare you. We're here to arm you with knowledge. Our goal is pretty simple: move past all the folklore and give you actionable expert insights that come straight from the Pit Cop research.
That's absolutely right. Think of this as a shortcut. A shortcut to being genuinely germ savvy. We're going to pull out the most important high impact nuggets from the Pit Cop material.
To demystify what's a real threat and what's just hype.
Exactly. And leave you with a simple, smart way to minimize risk every single time you step into one of those facilities.
Okay, so let's just unpack this right away. I think we need to start with the biggest surprise from the Pit Cop data. The thing that kind of calms the nerves.
The biggest myth.
Yes. Debunk the biggest myth first. This fear of contracting, you know, serious diseases, especially sexually transmitted ones, from a toilet seat.
Right. And the research on this is just, it's decisive. It states that this is extremely unlikely.
Extremely unlikely. So it's just not a statistically relevant way for those things to be transmitted.
Not at all. It's amazing how much mental energy we waste on these really low probability events. But that doesn't mean the environment is totally benign.
Right.
We just need to shift our focus to the actual threats. The Pit Cop research points us to common enteric bacteria, things like Salmonella or Shigella.
And what's the mechanism there? Why are those the real culprits?
It really boils down to the fecal-oral pathway. That's the high probability risk we have to mitigate.
Okay.
So unlike some complex viruses, Salmonella and Shigella are pretty robust. They're shed easily, and if you ingest them, even a tiny amount, they can make you quite sick. The danger is that hand-to-face transfer.
So knowing those are the germs, we need to know where they're, I guess, stickiest. Where is the transmission risk highest?
This is key. We have to shift our thinking away from the toilet seat and toward the high-frequency touch surfaces.
The obvious stuff.
The obvious culprits, yeah. The flush handle, the main door handle, the sink faucet, and, you know, the stall door latches. The process is so simple, but we miss it. You touch a contaminated surface, and then, you know, minutes later, you unconsciously touch your mouth, your eyes, your nose. That's the bridge. That's the point of failure.
That makes perfect sense. The danger isn't the environment itself. It's that transfer pathway. So let's talk about the facility itself. How much does that play a role?
It's paramount. And the Pit Cop material is very realistic about this. I mean, if a facility has dirty floors, or worse, an empty soap dispenser, the risk level is just unnecessarily high.
Yeah, if the tools aren't there.
Exactly. And if maintenance is poor, smells linger, which is a sign that microbial growth is unchecked, the basic tools for self-defense just aren't available.
But on the other hand, there are facility game changers, right? Things that actively reduce the risk for us. What does the research highlight there?
Oh, absolutely. Beyond just, you know, tack-notch cleaning, the best interventions include things like stainless steel fixtures. They're just easier to keep sterile.
Okay.
And also incorporating antimicrobial technology into surfaces. These things actively fight bacteria, lowering the bio load before we even touch anything.
This brings us to a huge debate. I feel like everyone has an opinion on this. The great drying debate. Air dryers versus paper towels. What did the Pit Cop data find?
Paper towels win. Decisively.
Really? Why?
It's the mechanism. Proper drying is non-negotiable because moisture is like a magnet for germs. Paper towels work better because the friction physically removes residual moisture and any microbes that are left.
Ah, the friction.
Yes. Whereas air dryers, especially some of the older models, can actually aerosolize germs that are already in the bathroom air. They can spread them around. So paper towels are the gold standard for hygiene.
And like you said before, if there's no soap or no drying option,
yeah,
your hands are just carrying more germs. Mm. The whole chain of defense is broken.
It is. Completely. You need both to really mitigate the risk effectively.
You know, that deep level of insight, the why behind it, like the friction mechanism, that comes directly from the Pit Cop bestseller ebooks. They're available right now on the ebook store.
Mm.
If you want to arm yourself with all this crucial material, you can download it instantly. So that's your first action item for today. Head over to www.pitcop.com/books. That's the fastest way to get this essential hygiene knowledge.
And for the foundational concepts behind all these deep dives, you should also visit www.pitcop.com. Applying the knowledge really starts with understanding the source.
All right, so we've covered the environment. Let's switch to what's in our control. Our personal defense system. We said hand washing is number one, but let's really break that down.
Absolutely. It is the single most important action you can take. The Picot source details the technique, and it really demands you stick to the 20-second rule.
And that's not just a suggestion.
No, it's the time needed for the soap to emulsify oils and for friction to physically dislodge the bacteria.
So where do people usually fail the 20-second test? I mean, we all feel rushed.
The shortcuts are always the same. People don't scrub enough, but more importantly, they miss the prime hiding spots.
Which are?
Under the nails and between the fingers. Those are the spots where bacteria can easily linger. You have to create friction across all surfaces for a full 20 seconds.
Okay, so assuming we do that perfect 20-second scrub, let's talk practical hygiene hacks. The smart moves to prevent getting recontaminated immediately.
The first hack is all about creating smart barriers. Once your hands are washed and dried with those paper towels, you use that clean towel to turn off the faucet.
It's a temporary shield.
Exactly. A shield against the very hot spot you just identified.
You know, I've always wondered if that's overkill. Is the risk of recontamination that high right there at the sink?
It's a fair question. But it's not about paranoia. It's about eliminating a high probability risk. You just washed away 99% of bacteria. You don't want to immediately pick them back up from a handle that someone else who maybe didn't wash properly just touched.
That's a good point. It's about consistency.
Right. And then there's the exit strategy. You know, the awkward hip-nudge dance we all do. Picot says that intuition is spot on.
It is. So if the door swings outward, you should use your hip or your elbow to push it open. Don't let the last point of contact ruin all your hard work.
Precisely.
And since we know not all facilities have soap or towels, what's our backup plan?
A mini hand sanitizer. It's a smart backup. Now, it's not a substitute for soap and water sanitizer. Works best on already clean hands. But it's an amazing tool for when soap isn't available.
So after the scrub and the elbow exit, you use that sanitizer as a final layer of security.
Yes, it's a final layer just in case. It's about building a robust defense system.
Now let's circle back to another one of those conversational twists, the seat safety myth. The Picot research debunks this pretty hard.
It does. I think people assume it's the most hazardous part because it's the most, well, visceral point of contact. But the research offers a huge perspective shift. It says sitting on the seat is probably safer than air.
Safer than the air? How is that possible?
It's just.
It's
practical hygiene physics. The surface of a toilet seat is generally not a great place for bacteria to replicate. And urine dries fast, which eliminates the moisture needed for germ transfer.
So it's not a petri dish.
It is not a petri dish. Your clean hands are far more likely to pick up bacteria from a frequently touched moist door handle than a dry toilet seat.
That's powerful. But speaking of airborne risk, let's talk about the splash zone, flushing. This is where the air might actually get dangerous.
This is a really significant finding. Flushing with the lid open creates what the force calls a messy splash zone. The force of the flush just disperses fine microbe-carrying droplets everywhere, onto surrounding surfaces, the floor, partitions. If there's a lid, the Picot advice is mandatory. Use a barrier, like a paper towel, to close it before you flush.
That one simple act seems like a massive overlooked game changer.
It really is. It minimizes the airborne spread immediately.
So let's put this all together. A final checklist for smart planning. What's the proactive strategy from Picot?
First, proactive preparation. Always check for soap and towels before you use the facility. If they're not there, you know you have to adjust your plan.
Maybe rely on that sanitizer or find another restroom if you can.
Exactly. Second, a visual inspection. If a surface looks icky, just skip it or use a barrier. Don't rely on wishful thinking.
Treat it as contaminated.
Right. And finally, and this is what they call hygiene habit gold, teach children the drill. Instilling these smart steps early on means they develop informed confidence, not baseless fear.
This deep dive has really distilled some complex science into simple actions. If I had to summarize the Picot source, the takeaway would be this. Germs hide on high-touch surfaces, but 20 seconds of soap and thorough drying wipe them out. No drama, just good sense.
The mantra is simple. Scrub, dry, and step smart. The goal isn't sterile perfection. It's risk reduction through consistent, flawless execution of a few good habits.
So what does this all mean for you, the listener? How do you apply this?
I think the provocative thought here is about consistency versus convenience. We're often tempted to skip a step, right? Maybe wash for 10 seconds or not bother with a barrier on the door.
Sure.
But understanding the science empowers you to resist that urge. Applying these small steps, hitting that full 20-second scrub, taking one extra second to use a barrier, It goes such a long way to keeping you healthy. It replaces anxiety with informed confidence.
That is fantastic advice. You're now armed with the Pitcot knowledge. Public restrooms are manageable if you're smart and follow the science.
Do the basics. Wash correctly, dry thoroughly, use smart barriers, and carry that sanitizer backup. You execute those steps, and you're golden for your next visit.
Thank you for listening to the Pitcot Podcast. I will leave a link in the description below to the sources we discussed, including that essential research. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to our channel and activate the notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads. And one more time, if you want to dive deeper into all the bestseller ebooks and research we covered today, make sure to visit www.pitcot.com. Thank you for being there with us. We really appreciate your time. And please subscribe to our channel if you haven't and activate that notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads.